Please proceed.
Hi, I'm Jill Edwards. I'm here to testify against SB 898. As an American citizen living with the long-term effects of repeated mild traumatic brain injury, electrical injury, and psychological trauma from ECT, I'm offended, angered, and heartbroken that this bill is even being considered. It's unconscionable that in this century we continue to be subjugated by medical providers and our own government. This fight should have ended decades ago. Yet here we are, our bodies and rights being broken and violated by the very people and institutions sworn to protect us. At this moment, I'm ashamed to be an American. As we speak of court proceedings for mental health care, my logic and conscience beg the question, why should any person have to defend themselves against a doctor? Why should any patient have to beg and plead with a court to not allow a doctor to violate their rights and bodily integrity, to not traumatize and injure them, to not erase aspects of their life and humanity? Our nation is blind to the genocide of its own people. ECT is a form of genocide, defined as an act that destroys a group in whole or in part through killing, torture, by causing serious physical or mental harm, that includes creating conditions of life that threaten survival. ECT kills. 1 in 93 people die within 30 days. 1 in 39 have a major cardiac event. ECT patients have a 5.7 times increased risk of suicide. 7.1% of babies die from ECT administered during pregnancy. Many lose years or decades of memories, education, skills, and become completely disabled. Relationships, livelihoods, and careers destroyed. Imagine no longer being able to recognize your loved ones or losing all memories of your childhood, your marriage, and your children's childhood. ECT destroys lives and legacies and causes intergenerational trauma in families. Like CTE and NFL players, the consequences of repeated brain and electrical injury from ECT extend far beyond memory and cognitive issues. They manifest as a variety of painful and debilitating symptoms and health problems. And the more injuries one has, the greater the risks of impairments, health issues, and death. This bill would increase the number of brain electrical injuries each patient receives and increase the risk to their health and their life and their well-being. Many patients experience ECT as torture. The UN states that forcing ECT on non-consenting patients constitute torture. Let me make this clear. Torture is not conducive to mental health. A doctor's opinion about the therapeutic value of treatment is irrelevant when a patient experiences it as torture. Torture is never in a patient's best interest. This bill would extend the length of time that patients and their families are tortured and traumatized. I implore you to tune out the voices of the people and organizations who profit from ECT and the subjugation of vulnerable Americans. Listen to the people. Patients live with the aftermath of ECT, not doctors. As such, ECT recipients are the true stakeholders in this bill. For 84 years, ECT victims have been silenced, ignored, and dismissed. I'm concerned about the state of a civilization that prevails in harming, oppressing, and silencing its people. If our shattered lives, injured bodies, and broken spirits are not enough evidence for you to vote against this bill, the very soul of this nation is dead. In the words of C.S. Lewis, of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. Those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. To be cured against one's will, in curative states, which we may not regard as a disease, is to be put on the level of those who have not yet reached the age of reason. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sorry that we're not here in person so that I can just see you and offer you my thanks and compassion for what you've been through. And I want to thank you. And we're fortunate that we live in a place where you are not silenced, and I'm glad that we were able to hear your words today. I know we have a question from Representative Zupkus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mrs. Edwards, thank you for coming today. And I know it's very difficult, but I personally greatly appreciate you sharing. And I just want to ask, you see this bill as getting something, this ETC, forced upon you that you don't give consent to or you don't want?
The whole treatment should be abolished. But the fact that this is going to extend the period of time when you know, okay, now it's this many more days that I'm going to be locked in this hospital while I'm being terrorized and traumatized and injured. And they're dragging me to the table, screaming and begging and pleading. So knowing that you have that many more days, and then when you get out, the aftermath of having even more brain injuries and the trauma of not being able to find doctors who will listen to you and help you. And the medical community continues to not deny our injuries. And it took me 21 years to get the appropriate diagnosis. 21 years I've suffered and no one would help me. And I've had to advocate for myself. I had to research to figure out what I was suffering with. Okay, to have a neurologist who studies the nervous system and seizures to look at me and say, no, ECT couldn't cause your problems because it's therapeutic. Do you understand what they're doing during this procedure? We may be asleep now, but they are coursing electricity through our body. There's nothing healing about it. We live with it.
Thank you.
Our family suffer.
I can only imagine how hard it is. And I really hate to press this, but I just would like to know that. So when you get the first treatment, do you agree to that? Or because I really don't know anything about this, so I apologize if I'm making. But so when you get your treatment for the first days, whatever that number is, do you agree to that? Whether you understand it or not, do you have to give consent? I guess is my question.
It varies by state, but yeah, I can.
In Connecticut.
Okay, yeah, I'm in Indiana. I mean, there's similarities and differences. I'm in Indiana. I originally consented. Shortly after I began, I realized this is not what I need. And the doctors continued to pressure me and coerce me, and they threatened to get a court order, even though I was not acutely suicidal. I had gone in there consenting. So threats and coercion are standard in psychiatric treatment. Okay. Chronic empowerment of people, taking away our rights and choices and doing horrible things to our body against our will and saying it's in our best interest.
Well, thank you, because I'm certainly not for something that somebody doesn't consent to. So I guess that would be a question. And I don't know if the chairs or somebody could answer in the state of Connecticut, do you have to get consent to get your first set of treatments and consent to get your second set of treatments? Or is it forced upon you, or doctors just say you have to have it and you have to have it? So, Mrs. Edwards, thank you. I sincerely appreciate it. And I would really like to have those answers for Connecticut, just because we're here talking about a Connecticut law. But I'm sorry you had to go through all of that.
And I just want to note that psychiatrists can override psychiatric advance directives. Unlike any other medical providers, they can override a psychiatric advance directive in which somebody specifically says they don't want ECT. It's a discriminatory act against people with psychiatric diagnoses.
Thank you,
Representative Zupkus. And we do have someone testifying later who you will have the opportunity to ask that question of as well. And we can certainly get you the answers from our wonderful nonpartisan team. I should take this opportunity to thank them as well.
Very much appreciated, Madam Chair.
Ms. Edwards, I my hope for you for the rest of this evening is that you have some wonderful support people either with you in your life or available to you, because this is a hard thing to do, and I thank you for doing it. Wishing you a peaceful evening.
Thank you.
With that, I might need some help, Madam Clerk, from